Chapter 22. Have you ever seen The Grinch? Stupid question. Of course you have. Do you remember the scene where the Grinch has stolen the last present and is sneaking away from Whoville? That's how Smythe and I felt carrying sacks of pixies out of the factory. Our mission there had been outstandingly successful, better than we hoped, even though there had been a few problems along the way. First, our way into the factory was through what Skippy had described as a small thermal exhaust port. He was not wrong about the thing being small. It was barely a meter and a half wide. But the size was not the problem. Even in mech suits, we were able to fit inside the thing without difficulty, although we had to go one at a time. Since the team going into the factory was only me and Smythe, having to go one at a time was not a major problem. The major problem was the thermal exhaust part. The factory was powered partly by a geothermal source buried deep below the surface. It used hot magma for energy and pumped down a cold slurry of liquid sodium or something like that. I hadn't been paying attention when Skippy explained the nerdy details. Anyway, most of the time there was no need for exhausting any heat. The cold liquid went down a pipe, got heated by the magma, and rushed up to the generator. Heat was carried by the liquid with no need to waste energy by venting it. Except that magma had currents like any liquid, even though it was liquid rock. Sometimes heat built up in the magma chamber in excess of what was needed by the factory's needs, and to relieve pressure, thermal energy was vented to the surface to keep the foundation of the factory stable. It didn't happen often, or even regularly, but if it happened while Smythe or I were in the exhaust shaft, we would get cooked even inside our suits. So the first thing we had to do was cut into the shaft. No, wait. The first thing we did was make sure the exhaust shaft was not already in use and super hot. It was not. So we cut a hole in the side and dropped a stealthy probe down on a long, ultra-thin wire. Fortunately, the only sensors in the shaft were for temperature and pressure, so Skippy was able to take control and bypass those sensors easily as the probe dropped. At the bottom, the probe needed to crawl around on its creepy centipede legs until it found the mechanism for the vent controller. Once Skippy had hacked into the controller, the exhaust port on the bottom would not open while we were in the shaft. Great, right? Except it was a long climb up to the factory, and if there was a big thermal flare below us, the factory AI would wonder why the eventual exhaust was so unusually hot, and then wonder why the port had not opened when it was supposed to. That is why Smythe and I, with me going first, climbed as quickly as we could. Well, technically, we both surrendered control of the climb to our suit computers, which could activate and release the Gecko grip mechanism and move the powered arms and legs much faster than either of us could. After we were both in the shaft, with Smythe climbing 30 meters below me, Reed and Grudzian sealed the hole we had cut so they wouldn't get killed when the exhaust was venting. Also, so the factory AI would not notice a portion of the thermal energy was flowing in the wrong direction. Anyway, we got into the factory, and Skippy took control of the factory AI more easily than he expected, although he made an extra effort to explain how incredibly difficult that task was and how his awesomeness had never been demonstrated more awesomely than right then. After that, Smythe and I had the nerve-wracking task of doing absolutely nothing for 22 hours while the factory churned out pixies and Skippy altered production records to make it look like perfectly good pixies had flaws and were discarded. The long delay while the factory worked to make pixies we could steal was the reason we had to conceal our outbound jump inside a comet. Someone in the star system would certainly have noticed the unknown gamma ray burst and probably increased security at the factory. On the way out, we could let the far end of our jump wormhole be exposed in space, as we didn't plan to hang around long after our escape from the factory. I sat with Smythe, the two of us trying to rest and not talking much, while the factory churned away around us in the darkness. Technically, we were never in the factory complex itself, only in a sort of bunker that had nothing except for a port where Skippy could begin hacking into the Maxulk's AI. The beer can assured us there was no reason we could not talk normally, as he had complete control of the factory complex and sensors. But neither Smythe nor I felt like talking much, and we were both too tense to relax and make conversation. We both slept in shifts, or I slept when it was my turn, and I assume Smythe got rest while I was on watch. Sorry there isn't more to report. We sat and waited while Skippy had the factory churn out pixies for us, and then a bot carried the batch of 10 pixies to us before turning around and silently walking away. I put 5 of the paired devices in my pack, and Smythe took the other 5, and we started back to the exhaust shaft. Everything was going great. Until it wasn't.
Joe,
I have good news and bad news, Skippy announced with way more cheeriness than was appropriate for telling someone about bad news, especially in our tense situation. Oh, crap. Bad news first, please. Well, it appears that I might have screwed up big time, and now it looks like you and the team are stuck in there, and I don't see any way out of it. What the hell happened? Well, my ego might have gotten the better of me. When I took over that AI, I was so offended by the amateurish way it managed Pixie production that, I kind of tweaked the process to make it more efficient. Just a tiny bit, like a 7% improvement in yield. It wasn't entirely about my ego, he added quickly. Part of tweaking the process was to make sure we could get a batch of good Pixies quickly. The problem is, I sort of forgot to conceal the process improvements from the Max Ulks in charge of the facility, and they instantly got curious about why the production yield suddenly became significantly more efficient. The bottom line is a group of Max Ulks officials are on their way to inspect the production facility right now. You will not have time to get away before they arrive. What the f... Holy shit. What is the good news? The good news is that I feel just terrible about it, Joe. See? I've been working on that empathy thing, at which I am now awesome, he sang in a falsetto voice. Really, screwing up like that put me in a deep funk for days. Days of my time. It was only a couple nanoseconds in your time. I feel much better now. Hey, this guilt trip thing sucks. Total waste of time. I don't know why you monkeys bother with it. I mean, there's nothing I can do to fix the problem. It's not like I can change the past, you know. Anywho, you do not need to worry that your impending and inevitable deaths will be a burden on me. I'm over it. He paused. Joe, are you listening? There were muffled booming sounds like someone tapping a microphone. Is this thing on? Crap, have I been talking to myself the whole time? Damn it, if I wasted that whole stupid speech moaning about how sorry I am going to be pissed! I was listening, you shithead! You were listening? Then why did you make me think I had just poured my heart out for nothing? That was totally inconsiderate, you big jerk. I'm a jerk. Your screw-up is going to get us killed. Oh, sure. It's all about you, Joe. What about me? I will have to go on without you. Do you know how difficult that will be? Well, it would be difficult, except that I will just press the easy button and archive all my memories of you so they don't bother me. But think about how hard it will be for me to train a new monkey. Where am I going to find... Oh, I have a great idea. How about when the ship gets back to Earth, I start a new reality show in which contestants compete to be my new pet monkey. I could call it something like, Who Wants to Be... That is a terrible idea, and you are not sorry at all. I am too. Nagatha, tell him. It is true, dear, Nagatha acknowledged, that Skippy was beating himself up about his mistake. He was quite inconsolable for several nanoseconds. In true Skippy fashion, he indulged himself by writing an epic poem about his sorrow, then turned it into a song. Thank God he has gotten over his guilt and grief. I was growing so tired of hearing that song. Hey, Skippy protested, that is a great song. And of course he broke into singing. You're here in my heart, and my heart will go on and on. What the... You ass, I exploded. You didn't write that song. That's the theme from the movie Titanic. I didn't steal that song. I was, inspired by it. Yeah, that's it. Besides, that Rose chick was only sad about losing some boy toy she bonked for, like, 3 freaking minutes. Oh, boo-hoo, she was in love. Yuck. Gag me, he spat in disgust. I was racked with grief because I'm going to lose a whole barrel of monkeys I have known for years. So tell me, who deserves to own that song, me or some fictional girl in a movie? Joe, are you there? I had no words. You can't even console me about my everlasting sorrow, Skippy whined. Jeez, who needs empathy lessons now? Selfish little Joey Bishop, that too. Big jerk. Sir, Colonel Smythe interrupted my pleasant fantasy of watching Skippy helplessly spiral down into the crushing gravity well of a black hole. Perhaps instead of arguing about whether the beer can is sorrowful about his mistake, you can concentrate on fixing the problem. Yeah, I agreed. While Skippy had been being extra asshole-ish, I had been thinking about how to get us out of the latest mess he got us into. Skippy, where are those Maxalt officials now? Right now. They are boarding a ship that is at a space station in high orbit. Once pre-flight checks are complete, I expect the ship to depart in 12 minutes. That particular ship is not a threat. It is merely a lightly armed transport. But once the officials arrive, they will inevitably detect your presence and alert several warships that are parked nearby. There is not enough time for you to get all the way out of the production factory and fly away in the dropship before the officials arrive. Smythe spoke before I could.
It is possible for you to intercept communications between those officials and the warships, prevent them from sending an alert.
Unfortunately, no, the chastened beer can replied. Their ship has an independent comm system based on Pixies. If I attempt to interrupt their signals, that will set off an alarm. This is why I said I am sorry. I do not see any way for you to escape from here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was only half listening to him. I don't suppose you can screw with their transport ship so it can't fly here.
No, dum-dum, I'm not there. Duh. Besides, they would just switch to another transport.
You are well and truly screwed this time. I am sorry.
Jeez, I'm sick of saying that word. I'm sorry, okay? That's the last time I'm saying that.
You might be right about our dilemma this time, sir. Smythe had a completely stiff upper lip about the situation. If we can't escape, what are your orders?
I'm not giving up yet, Smythe. We may yet have a card to play, I assured him. Although right then, shit, I had no idea what we could do. If those Maxalt's officials were responsible for the production facility, they for damn sure would want to investigate any anomaly in its processes. Even if Skippy now had the AI tell the officials that the initial report of a suddenly improved process was a mistake, that would be alarming enough to need investigation. Hell, if I were in charge of a major, very important and expensive facility and something changed unexpectedly, I would want to know what was going on before my boss asked me about...
Holy shit.
Skippy, these officials coming here, are they, like, in charge of this place? Are they the highest-ranking officials in the star system? No. Why? The Maxalt's headed toward you are the line production managers. They report to a sort of grand poobah who is responsible for the entire effort. The people coming toward you want to know what the hell is going on before the grand poobah's office finds out there was an anomaly and asks them about it.
That made me smile.
So this grand poobah guy, she's a female, Joe, Skippy chided me.
Whatever. She doesn't know about the anomaly yet?
Tell her, Skippy. Have the factory AI tell her right now.
Okay, doing it now. I don't understand why that wouldn't matter.
That's because you don't understand the bureaucratic mindset, Skippy. Everybody wants to cover their asses. This grand poobah woman, she also has a boss somewhere, and if there is a problem with the big project she is responsible for, she will want to see the problem herself, not get a second-hand report from her flunkies.
Those officials are highly skilled scientists, Joe. I would not describe them as flunkies.
You don't have to. I can guarantee you that she thinks of them that way. Go do a crossword puzzle or something. Give it a minute.
It took 4 minutes. During that time, I was sweating in my suit and my hands were shaking even more than they had been since we left the Flying Dutchman. If my ploy didn't work, I was totally out of ideas and we were totally out of options. So was humanity.
Crap, there was no pressure on me, right?
Huh. Skippy was puzzled. Maybe I do need to study how the mind of a bureaucrat works. Incredible though it may seem, you are right, Joe. That woman I described as the Grand Poobah just called her flunkies and told them not to approach the production facility until she and her staff have time to assess the situation and then join them. That is expected to take well over 3 hours. She sounded more than a bit upset that the local officials intended to investigate the anomaly without informing her about it. Apparently, this is not the first time she has been kept in the dark about a potential issue with the factory.
Joe, you may just have gotten some hapless production managers fired. I hope you are happy, you heartless jerk. Some poor Maxalt's family may starve because of you, Joe.
Yeah, my heart bleeds for them, Skippy. Tell you what, I'll send a care package of fluff and, the Maxalt's are sort of cats, so I'll send them a tin of sardines or something.
That would be a heartwarming gesture if you actually cared, Joe.
They can leave a scathing review about me on Yelp, Skippy. Are we good now? We should be well away from here in an hour, right?
Yes, assuming nothing else major goes wrong, of course.
Of course.
Goody. Well, I am sure we can all put this unfortunate incident behind us and forget all about it, huh?
I guess we all worried for nothing. Smythe came to my defense. It would not have been nothing if Colonel Bishop could not think of a way out of a mess you created.
It's not fair you're all ganging up on me, the beer can grumbled.
Yes, I made a mistake, okay? Every mistake is a learning experience, and I learned a lot from this unfortunate incident.
Like you learned not to let your massive ego get us in trouble? I asked hopefully.
Yeah, that too. I'll make a note of it. What I meant is that I learned guilt is way overrated, and that next time I will wait for your corpse to get cold before I waste my time moping around just because you are dead.
Smythe and I looked at each other. Sir, if you could do a favor for me, he asked. Think of a way to download the useful parts of Skippy into the ship's computer, so we can drop the beer can into a particularly nasty star.
Skippy, please tell me you have fixed the jump navigation computer, I whispered as my boots clomped into the dragon's airlock. To avoid annoying and distracting him, I had not asked about his progress with the sophisticated yet crude pile of circuits that, when I had last seen it, was on fire and issuing toxic orange smoke.
Define fixed, Joe.
His voice had that nervous flutter of an unspoken heh-heh that chilled my blood.
Crap, does the damn thing work or not?
Work is defined as jumping us out of here.
Wait.
Jumping us out of here alive and without the Max Hulks detecting the jump, or detecting any sign that we were ever here.
Wait!
I slapped my palm on my helmet faceplate. The alive part is, optional if it absolutely has to be. We need to get the Pixies to the Dutchman.
The plan was to use the last two sets of precious jump drive coils to bring the Falcon back to emerge behind an icy planetoid near the Dutchman, so the mass of that little planetoid would keep the gamma radiation of the inbound jump from being detected. What would keep the outbound jump from being detected was two things. The energy-absorbing stealth field Skippy projected through one of the micro-wormholes in the cavern he had created, and a stealth netting grid that Reed and Roe had installed around the cavern while Smythe and I were stealing Pixies. In addition to the grid, there was a very fine wire that had sunk itself down deep through the bottom of the cavern so it could tap geothermal energy to power the stealth netting. The instant the Flying Dutchman jumped away with Skippy, the micro-wormholes in the cavern would collapse, taking the stealth field with them. We had to be sure the Max Hulks would never, or at least not for a very long time, learn about an artificial cavern under their critical Pixie production facility. Skippy estimated the stealth netting would conceal the cavern for thousands of years, long enough for natural forces to slowly fill it in.
Okay, the answer is yes or no. It depends. The thing is busted real good, Joe, and it can only be partially fixed, even with the spare parts you brought along.
Clustered around the jump computer was a pile of burned-out parts that had been discarded by the bots, and three bins of assorted spares we had brought with us. The bins were still mostly full. That told me whatever the problem was, the computer could not be fixed with the components available.
In what way is the answer yes?
First, let's start with the bad news. The jump computer can target a distant jump point and project the far-end event horizon near the Flying Dutchman. That is fairly simple math. Any unmodified jump navigation system can do that as a basic requirement. The task is made easier because this computer is only being asked to create a very narrow wormhole that decreases the effect of gravitational distortion on the initial wormhole. Unfortunately, in its current degraded state, the computer is not capable of crunching numbers in the advanced math I created for a secondary jump wormhole to pull you through the initial wormhole. A second wormhole could be created, but without very delicate control of its internal field, the far-end event horizon would be pulled back toward the near end to collapse both wormholes with extremely violent results. The good news, if that happens, is the Max Hulks would never know what the hell happened, because the entire factory and a big chunk of the planet would be converted to subatomic particles. Everything we had done up to that point was for nothing, and as the commander, it was all my fault.
That is not actually good news, Skippy.
Oh, that wasn't the good news, Joe. I mentioned that only as sort of a silver lining if your sudden deaths become inevitable. No, the good news is there is a possibility, kind of a slim possibility, I will admit, but it is possible, theoretically, that I can act as the jump navigation computer to control the second wormhole.
I reached up to scratch my head, forgetting my helmet was still on.
How can you do that? The jump needs to be initiated from here, and you're aboard the Dutchman.
That is why I said it is theoretical, Joe, he sighed.
You left the micro-wormhole in the factory.
Seeing Smythe's look of consternation, I objected.
Yeah,
because you told us to do that. It is necessary for me to continue monitoring that factory AI until we can be certain the operation was successful and I can withdraw my presence and erase evidence we were there. And it is not a problem because there are other micro-wormholes in or near the cavern. You can go outside and bring one into the dragon.
Okay, yeah. I still didn't know where he was going with his idea.
What good will that do?
Having a micro-wormhole in the dragon will allow me to act as the jump controller for the second inner wormhole.
Are you sure about that? As we go through the wormhole, the micro-wormhole connection will be severed and you will lose contact.
True, and you saying that encourages me that you are not as dumb as you look.
He smacked me with the backhanded compliment.
I will position one end of another micro-wormhole here, near where you should emerge. As I lose connection from your end, my hope is that I can reconnect quickly from this end and keep the inner wormhole from collapsing.
You can do that?
I truly do not know. There are a lot of variables involved. It kind of depends on luck, the way you monkeys think of luck. That is why I said this is all theoretical, Joe.
Can you give us a solid shmaybe about this working?
Truthfully, I have no idea if this can actually work. There is no way to test it, because my test would need to replicate the exact conditions on both ends at the exact time you jump, right down to the quantum foam level. I do not have all the data needed to lock down the variables.
I'm not bursting with confidence, Skippy.
Realistically, you should be trembling with fear.
Crap.
Okay, the problem is the second inner wormhole, right? The initial wormhole will be stable?
For a very short time, yes, but long enough.
Good. Is there any way to adjust that initial wormhole so a pair of pixies can go through?
What good would that do, Joe?
He was puzzled. Pixies will not allow me to control the second wormhole to pull the dragon through.
No, but having pixies will allow Sims to have a chance to complete the mission.
There was a sharp intake of breath behind me as someone realized I was considering us getting permanently stranded in a cavern under the surface of Detroit.
This isn't a game, Skippy. Without those pixies, we are all dead anyway.
While I find your notion of self-sacrifice noble, if misguided, the answer is no. Any pixies you attempt to send by themselves through the initial wormhole will be disassociated by distortion effects and rendered useless.
Sorry. The only way for you to complete the mission is for the dragon to come through the jump carrying the pixies.
Crap. How much time do we have?
The ship transporting the Grand Poobah is approaching the planet. It will land in approximately 2 hours.
You are running out of time as well as options, Joe. While the factory complex is blind due to my control of sensors there, the approaching ships might be able to detect your outbound jump. The stealth field around the cavern is not perfect, and the effects of the jump within a jump create gamma radiation that is difficult to mask. Your inbound jump damaged the stealth field more than I anticipated. I do apologize for that.
It's not your fault, Skippy. For some reason, I felt the need to comfort him, though he was safe aboard the Flying Dutchman many light hours away.
We ask you to do the impossible, stuff that has never been done before.
Okay. I took a deep breath, squared my shoulders, and turned to face my three companions.
If you are asking for a vote, Smythe told me with a warning look in his eyes, you won't get one, sir. You are the commander.
Shaking my head, I looked at the deck.
The problem with the Merry Band of Pirates was we were always reacting to a crisis at the last minute, and that was my fault.
No, Smythe, no vote.
Several times I told Chotek that some chance is better than none. Now it's my turn to sell that same line of bullshit to myself, and it's not easy.
All right, Skippy, this is your big chance to demonstrate once and for all that you are the undisputed king of awesomeness. Do your thing whenever you're ready. All we ask is you give it your best shot. I know you're not happy this might kill us.
Oh, yeah, that too. What I meant was I am not eager to try something that could end in a very rare failure for me. I kind of have a reputation to maintain, you know?
My heart bleeds for you, Beer Can.
Do it.
Okay. The calculations will take me a couple minutes to prepare. While you are waiting, you should double-check that all the junk in the cabin is secure and then strap in real tight. This could get a bit rough, Joe.
There was a catch in his voice.
I'm serious. This maneuver is extremely risky. I cannot even give myself a shmaybe about this one.
If he choked up.
If this is the last time we speak, then...
Well, basically, I will be very disappointed that you did not die in a more dramatic fashion.
Thank you so much, Skippy. I rolled my eyes.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know?